Following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Wilson at KGLA Albia and Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Yeah, Senator, last week, several thousand workers at John Deere have gone on strike here in parts of Iowa, and I know you haven't had a chance to really get into it too much last week, but have you had a chance to look at the details of that yet and kind of look at what both sides are offering?
Not in the detail that I think you'd like to hear from me, but first of all, I'd like to give you a little personal background. I worked at a factory 61 to 71. I was a member of the International Association of Machinists. It was in Cedar Falls, Iowa, called Waterloo Register. We made furnace registers, and I was on the assembly line putting screw holes in furnace registers. In 1967 or 68, sometime like that, I voted to go on strike. I was not on the negotiating team, so I wasn't involved in the details of it, just like I don't know much about the details of the John Deere investigation, but I think I have some experience of what it is to be on strike and not get a paycheck, and I'm sure the Deere workers and their families now face a very stressful situation, and I hope that they have good faith bargaining. I hope that good faith bargaining will bring a swift conclusion to the dispute, and that conclusion would be good for all parties, and it'll sure be good for the Iowa economy when John Deere factories are up and running. Very good. Now let's go to Dale.
Yes, sir. Kind of piggyback on that, employment in Iowa still continues to be a problem. We've got very low rates of unemployment, but we don't have enough workers. Is there anything happening on the federal level that can help get people back to work?
The only thing that has helped, and I'm not sure it's going to help as much as a lot of us thought it was, but we had a disincentive for people to work by having the $300 add-on to the state unemployment compensation. Besides that, on two or three occasions, we sent out a lot of checks to everybody making $75,000 a year or under, and I presume that the extent to which a lot of that's been put in savings, feel people a little secure from needing a job. When that all runs out, it may be different, but I want to emphasize that even though there might not be much we can do about it, we did some things that probably discouraged people from going back to their job and things of that nature. But if we could, there is one area, if we could get an agreement for skilled workers, unskilled workers, and for some professional people where we got shortages in our workforce, we could have some legal immigration to fill those jobs, but you can't get an agreement on that stuff. The reason you can't get an agreement on something that ought to be non-controversial is because you put a little immigration bill out on the Senate floor and it attracts the most extreme positions of the right and left through amendments, so you never get 60 votes to get it passed. Back to Brian.
Yeah, Senator, you recently announced that you're going to seek another term in office, and I guess maybe talk about the decisions that led you to that. Obviously, you're going to be going into your 90s here pretty soon. So, what made you want to put your name on the ballot for another 6-year term?
Yeah, well, first of all, I gave it a much longer period of time to think about running for re-election than I had on previous years. But it kind of boils down to the fact that I work hard for the people of Iowa and I love my work. And also, I think it's important to realize that it was a family decision, my wife and kids. And then when I was going around the summer with my town meetings and when I went to the state fair and then tailgating this fall, people said that they kind of felt that I was doing a good job and that we needed my common sense, which isn't really my common sense. It's Iowa common sense here in Washington, D.C. And also, I think I've got more to do for Iowans. And the things I'm working on to get drug prices, prescription drug prices down, find a fair market for our cattle producers. That's a really major problem in agriculture. Protect biofuels and other alternative energies. And gee, just think, every night on television you see the unsecured borders, people walking across the Rio Grande. What a problem that is for our country. Let's go to Dale.
Yes, sir. The shipping crisis that is causing supply chain difficulties across the country, what is Congress doing to help to try to get this taken care of?
Not enough, and I'm not sure Congress could act fast enough to do something about it, but I don't very often agree with the president, but I want to compliment the president on what he did to get the longshore unions, union members, to work 24/7, in other words, on three shifts instead of just one shift a day to unload the ships. Beyond that, though, I think we still have problems, not enough truck drivers. I talked to a big trucking company last Thursday in Des Moines. They said nationwide they need 100, not just this company, but all companies need 100,000 truck drivers. And so you got problems there. Once the ship's unloaded, you've got the warehouses are filled. You don't have enough warehouse workers, and so it's just not as simple as getting the ships unloaded, is what I'm trying to say. But I think the president did the right thing in that particular instance. Back to Brian.
Yeah, former President Trump was in the state recently, appeared with you and some other Republican leaders down in Des Moines. Does it bother you that he still refers to the 2020 election as being stolen? Do you think he'll ever come around on that, or does that bother you in any way?
Well, I think we're going to have several candidates for president in Iowa, and Trump may be one or he may not be one. I guess I'm concerned about the 2022 election. I'm not going to worry about 2024. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask the question, but I think that whoever's running for president of the United States on the Republican ticket, we're going to expect them to talk about the future, not about the past. Dale?
Yes, sir. You're planning on holding a youth summit in just a couple of weeks, focusing on judicial matters. One of the things that the Democratic Party prior to the last election was pushing was to change the makeup or how long of terms and stuff are on the Supreme Court. What's going to happen with that as long as the Democrats are holding both the cards or all three of the cards there?
Well, a short answer to your question, then I want to go back and talk about our conference. The short answer is I don't think that anything's going to happen to those suggestions, because I think there's even a lot of Democrats don't want to change the judiciary, in particular the Supreme Court, as much as some of those suggestions were. I would even go a little bit further and think that it wasn't set up with real reformers in the first place. It was to help Biden keep a promise he made to a lot of progressives that he was going to do something about it, and he didn't. And this commission came out with a know-nothing, I guess, even though they had a lot of suggestions in it. But one of them wasn't packing the Supreme Court, which I think is really, really significant. So Biden commission admitted last week that court packing isn't a very good idea. They didn't deal with one of the things that people thought they ought to deal with was ethics of the Supreme Court, because all the other courts in the United States have very strong ethics rules, but the Supreme Court doesn't. So going back to that conference you brought up, that's to educate or to bring high school students that are interested into meeting with judges so that they can learn more about the judiciary. I did it about 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, in Cedar Rapids. I'm doing this one in Des Moines.
Senator, right now there's a couple of different proposals in Iowa to build pipelines to try and transport carbon dioxide from ethanol plants to places like North Dakota to store them to try and maybe help the environment a little bit. I guess you're a landowner and you talk to farmers all the time. I guess how do you balance, you know, their concerns with the need for, you know, these?
I could hardly hear you. You balance between landowners and the need for pipelines? Is that your question?
Well, no. I was going to say the balance between, you know, landowners' rights and also the need for environmental change and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the pipeline that you're talking about would be for carbon sequestration, and everybody ought to be interested if you want to clean up the environment, the extent to which you can sequester carbon is a good thing to do. But the question that you're asking me can only be answered under state law, not under federal law. See, now the last question would be from Dale.
Yes, sir. This morning we learned of the passing of General Colin Powell. Could you give us your thoughts on the man and his work in life?
I think I dealt with him as a general, dealt with him as National Security Advisor, dealt with him as Secretary of State. I don't know whether he was the first, second, or third African American to become a four-star general. He did wonderful work and dies with an outstanding record, and obviously dies as an outstanding example of how people, anybody in America, can get ahead if they got work hard and got the drive to do it, because he died at 84, so just think, in his early life, there were a lot of stripes against minorities in this country. There's still some hurdles that they have to cross that maybe are still not right, but we've made great advancements in the last 60 years on civil rights, and he's a perfect example of succeeding from working hard. Okay, thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Brian and Dale, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.